Riding through the valley, I looked up and lost my way. From the ground, my bike beside me, I caught my breath and bent my legs. Nothing cracked or snapped or stung. I pushed up on my elbows. It was midday in Toronto, late November, a Thursday. People pedaled and jogged past. Families fanned out along the path with food bags and strollers and toddlers leashed at the wrist. A few people waved to make sure that I was okay. I waved back. Loose dogs approached, curious, their tails whipping around. Their owners called out treats and punishments, and they turned away from me. I slipped back down. I was alone in the city. I blinked a few times. Beyond the penciled high branches, the heavens looked like the gray white of rainwater in an empty swimming pool. I was alone in the city. The demon was still there. It was beside me. The creature squatted on a plinth wedged between the bike path and the murky river. It had bat wings and a dog face. The Thursday before, it hadn't been here. I was certain of that, at least, and had stared at it for far too long. Mid-pedal passed. My front wheel went off the path into a slurry of pea gravel. Small stones dug into my skin. Pushing into the earth made them go away. The ground was damp and forgiving. I looked at the gargoyle again. The battered creature must have been dumped out of some lately condoed church. Smashed up bramble and bush ended near its base. Rutted lines of dried out mud that led across the path and up to the main road. Tire tracks. Someone had driven it down from the city proper, unloaded it, right side up, and left. A statement? A warning? A joke? Had I taken a wrong turn, higher up the path? If they were here with me, we wouldn't lay down and blink and stare. We'd climb and call out and conquer. Molly left in July, with the children, to stay with her family for the summer. She took their winter clothes. Leave you here? The driver dropped me in front of the glass-boxed front of my old Catholic college. It was now a condominium and assisted living complex called the New U. I walked through the airy vestibule built in front of the chipped brick building. The old hardscape had been torn up and replaced by paving tiles. Pitted in silver gray, they gave off a sheen like old trophies and tea services and baby cups, spoons, shoes in which first steps were taken, decades ago. Prin, has the condo board changed the rules and nobody told the guy who has to enforce them? Am I really going to let you go up the elevator with that bike, like that? Said Marcus. I went over to his desk. The monitors and phones and cardiac arrest kits were concealed by slatted lengths of amberwood. Warm, like honey and candlelight, like honey in candlelight. The desk softened the rest of the building's otherwise cold, bright, bare beginning. Marcus was a retired soldier. He lined the top of his desk with potted cactuses, a tribute to his late wife, and was beloved by the building's residents for settling daily disputes about party room bookings and guest parking. Where am I supposed to go then? I said. Others were watching and listening. They were always in the lobby, fixed in their places like the unsecured umbrella stands. They carried tablets and e-readers, in case you asked any direct questions. Marcus tapped and checked a screen. He checked his watch. Go to Underground 2. You might hop in the tub with your bike. You have about 10 minutes before they start coming back from their dog walks. I'll text you the code. Hurry up so you're not ambushed.